Right, coming on the cabinet today, Annette King is issuing a statement, if she hasn't already, on the way ahead on domestic aviation security. Suffice to say, she's announced a couple of measures immediately, but also said that there will be time taken to do a three-month proper review of all domestic aviation security. There's also a statement coming out in the rest of the afternoon period from Harry Dienhoven on government agreement to changes to vehicle noise limits. There's a statement from Annette King as Minister of Police on the report of the Independent Police Conduct Authority, welcoming that report and noting that the police are already taking remedial action to correct and change the procedures and systems which were found wanting. Phil Goff will have a statement out today, tomorrow, on the extension of the Air Force helicopter deployment to Timor. There's been a decision taken on drafting a national environmental standard for measurement of water takes, and Trevor Mallard will be talking about that at a national water conference tomorrow. Also from Trevor Mallard, there will be appointments announced to the Board of Inquiry to consider resource consent applications relating to Contact Energy's proposed Te Mihi geothermal station. From Trevor Mallard, also agreed today to develop national environmental standards under the RMA for telecommunications facilities. As well, from Trevor as Minister of Labour, there'll be a discussion document coming out on health and safety hazard management in underground mines. We've also agreed to miscellaneous amendments to the Trademarks Act, it's a commerce paper, and noted the development of principles for property services industry. This has been negotiated on a tripartite basis, and the principles and how the government proposes to comply with them will be announced in the coming weeks as well. We have had an update on the emerging drought throughout the country. The risk profile of a number of the South Island regions decreased after rainfall last week. That was particularly so in North and Mid Canterbury. Central Otago and Southland got light rain. The lack of rain, though, is still causing ongoing high concern in parts of the North Island. The Lower North Island received very little rain over the weekend, and for the Waikato, rain was pretty patchy as well. Jim Anderton will be visiting drought-affected regions in the coming month, quite a number of them, and the National Drought Committee met for the first time last week, and MAF is working closely with other government agencies to coordinate responses. I understand those media who are interested in my visit to Canberra on Wednesday have been briefed by MFAT today, and there's probably little I can add to that, except to say that I would expect to be briefing Mr. Rudd on the importance New Zealand attaches to the single economic market concept and the work that's been done on that in recent years. Obviously also be discussing issues around our region. Mr. Rudd has been in Timor in the last week or so. Be discussing how the new Labor government in Australia is refocusing foreign policy for Australia on the South Pacific. We've also got shared interests in Afghanistan, East Asia regionalism, and APEC. So I expect the time there will be fully occupied. I'll be meeting with Mr. Rudd one-on-one, with officials, with other ministers, and over a ministerial lunch, and as well seeing Mr. Swan as I go out through Sydney at the end of the day. Now, as everyone's aware, the government has been working towards a two-year time frame from April 06 for conclusion of an FTA agreement with China. And we do still have important work to do on the agreement around the legal verification and the translation and the agreement that has been arrived at to this point has yet to go to Cabinet, although is expected to shortly. But we do have to make some plans for signature based on the expectation that we will be in a position to sign. So we are looking at a series of events which would occur around this in the first half of April. All being well, I would be in China for that event, should it eventuate, along with Phil Goff as Minister of Trade, and we would hope to be organising a New Zealand business delegation to be there as well. NZTE will be sending out an invitation for expressions of interest to be part of that quite soon. I'm not in a position to say any more about substance at this point. That will come in due course, except to underline the significance of an agreement, should we be able to sign and seal. Obviously, it would be New Zealand's largest trade deal since CER was signed in 1983, and of course it would also be China's first with a developed country, so it would attract a particular interest for that reason. Of course, the signing is only one step in the process. The practice under our government has been, once signed, an agreement is referred to the Parliamentary Select Committee for scrutiny. They have, I think, 20 working days to report. It then comes back and the government prepares legislation, and that goes to Parliament. So only once both countries have completed the steps they need for ratification can such an agreement actually take effect. Otherwise, coming up this week, apart from the things I've signalled, I understand the Minister of Conservation will be announcing the Board of Inquiry for public feedback on the Coastal Policy Statement. Tomorrow there should be a report released, the fourth report, I believe, of progress under the Clean Streams and Dairying Accord, which does show some improvement and some regional variation in the level of progress. There is the National Water Conference, which I referred to, where Trevor Mallard will also be talking about the new environmental standard we're proposing for water takes. Come Tuesday, I'll be in Christchurch doing an Arts, Culture, Heritage Forum there. We're expecting this week that the Health and Disability Commissioner will release the report that was done on a particularly unfortunate set of incidents at Whanganui District Health Board. Marion Street will have an announcement to make about home support carers funded by ACC. Wednesday, obviously, I'm in Canberra. Wednesday is the deadline Mr. Cunliffe set for a decision on the Hawke's Bay DHB's future. And come Thursday, expecting an announcement from the Minister of Conservation around flood protection work required for Milford Sound. End of the week, Friday, the Centre for Housing Research is expected to issue another report on housing affordability. That probably pretty much sums up the week. Any questions?
Prime Minister, another pretty awful poll for that on the briefing. Do you believe that the gap is actually that wide, 23%?
I've said I think those results are a bit extreme, but clearly the government's got work to do. I don't propose to change the basic strategy, which is to get on with governing. It's a long time till the election, to get on with being a substantial government which brings forward new policy to meet new challenges. While I think our record is strong, I don't think you get re-elected on your record. You have to be seen to have the best vision, the best sort of policies going forward.
In the past, when the gap's been wide, people put it down to ministerial missteps and that sort of thing. It hasn't really been that. What do you actually put down?
I think there's been a bit of a hangover from where we ended the year. Government's had a lot coming forward that's been positive at the start of this year, and that's the way we intend to continue.
What do you put your personal ratings down?
Well, I think it's very much linked to the party gap. It's very difficult to lead in a preferred PM poll when a poll is showing that level of variation in party ratings.
In that report on Saturday, there was some talk about your leadership. What did you make of
absolutely nothing.
Is Labor's private polling? Is it significantly different from what we've seen?
I haven't seen anything in the last 3 weeks or so, but as I say, there's certainly some polling which is more out on the extreme end than others.
In the past, your personal ratings have actually held up pretty...
Not with that sort of gap, they haven't. That's certainly impossible. Now, I can take a couple of questions on other things, but I've held up the Governor Barmian for 45 minutes, so...
In terms of the secondly economic moves with Australia, do you have some convincing to do, Kevin Rudd, the importance of that?
It's really...
John Howard was committed to it, are you sure that...
Obviously, for 8 years, we've been working with a different Australian government. And now is the opportunity for us to talk to a new Australian government formally about things which are important to New Zealand and ensure that they have priority with the new government. Now, this government's only been in office since late November, December. So it's still prioritising. I understand Canberra is a sort of ferment of activity with a new government and many new ideas. So the key thing about this visit is to get New Zealand's priorities well up the pecking order.
Do you think on the free trade agreement, were you need to, do you think, rely on the support of the National Party to pass it through Parliament?
The agreement as such doesn't go to Parliament. It's legislation that is consequential on the agreement that goes to Parliament. In the normal course of events, the National Party has been supportive of such legislation.
Can you talk to Winston about that? Because he's quite hard to pin down on the free trade deal, amongst other things, but he's quite hard to pin down on his support.
I haven't personally known. He is obviously Minister of Foreign Affairs, but without the trade responsibility.
What do you think any political consequences would be of that free trade deal? Do you think you'll get any kudos among the electorate for it, or will there be fears around that have been raised around job losses?
Well, China has very open access to our market now. The key breakthroughs with an agreement with China will be us getting some reciprocity, because we do face quite significant tariffs on key exports into that market. So there's no question in my mind that should we be successful and be able to announce that in April, that it is a very, very big move for the Kiwi economy, a very important move and beneficial.
Do you think it could be quite hard to explain to other countries?
Well, I don't know that he will be.
When you say you are successful, I understand it's just the legal matters now. You've reached the deal, it's a matter of time.
Well, there's legal verification and there's translation. You're translating between Mandarin and English. In the course of that, you can always come up with areas that are appeared clear to each other in one's own language. But you have to really tie all that down. So it's not a simple task.
When do you expect that to be completed?
Well, the aim is to tie all of that down in time to meet the first half of April timetable for signing and for it to go to Cabinet, obviously, in the next few weeks.
You said that you can't talk about the details of the agreement here, but in terms of agriculture, has New Zealand got everything it wanted on its wish list, or have there had to be compromises?
Well, we've been negotiating on this for quite a long time. I remember making an announcement about the kicking off of the negotiations at the APEC in Chile, which must have been around the end of 2004. So it's been a long haul, and in the course of a long haul, both sides can set out with various levels of ambition, and at some point the two have to converge in an agreement. So not everybody gets everything they want straight away in a negotiation, but New Zealand doesn't conclude a negotiation unless it thinks it's of some benefit.